personally have to say VBS was a blast for me. If you're around, you know I took over 150 pies to the face. Anything for kids to have fun, but it was awesome. And some of your kids got pie back in the face from me, so it was really awesome. Really awesome. One thing I noticed in the bulletin, I just want to point out real quick, just as a correction, it says that slip and slide kickball is this Wednesday. That's a misprint. I just caught it like right before I came up here. That's the last Wednesday of the month of June. And so if your teens are getting really, really excited that this Wednesday they can play slip and slide kickball, tell them to hold off because that's going to be a little bit in a couple more weeks. But I just wanted to get that clarified, and so therefore we could just all be on the same page and everything. Today I am super excited to continue on this series that we're doing in the Heroes of the Faith. Do we have the intro slide going, maybe? Maybe it's on the back. Back. There we go. The reason why we're doing this series is we're taking a look at a lot of the Old Testament characters and just learning from their lives. In chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, there is this famous passage called the Hall of Faith, where we can see the great faith of all these men and women who have gone before us and give us a challenge to see if we had the same type of faith that they did. Today, I get the honor and privilege of talking about Joseph. Funny how I got that one, huh? Joseph was, as it says underneath, one of the greatest men of integrity. And I probably didn't realize that until I started studying these passages as much as I did. And honestly, I feel like I should be the last person giving this message. I'm speaking to myself just as much as I'm speaking to the rest of you. I am extremely humbled to have this opportunity. But as we continue on the series, the point we're going on in the series is we're looking at chapter 11 in Hebrews, and then we come down to verse 6, and it says this: "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." All these men, women that we're studying throughout the summer truly believe that God exists. And a lot of us, we are like, yeah, I believe God exists, but does our life represent it? Do we truly live out that belief? Because I know I'm guilty of not doing that. I know I fade away from that. These people, in every aspect of their life, truly lived out their belief. And Joseph is just the same. He was a great man of faith. A lot of you know the story of Joseph. There's been Disney movies made about him. There's been Broadway plays that are made about him. Hopefully you know the biblical story of Joseph more than anything else. But Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. He was spoiled rotten. Let's just be real, okay? The guy was spoiled. He was given this beautiful, beautiful coat. Now, Joseph had one really big downfall and sin issue that we kind of realized when we were studying. He was arrogant. And he was arrogant like nothing else. And he probably went around bragging to his other brothers saying, "Hey, look at this sweet jacket that Dad gave me." And then he started having dreams. And his dreams, he interpreted that he would be above his brothers, more important than his brothers. And remember that he was not the oldest one. And in that day, the oldest brother got all the inheritance. The oldest brother got all the fame. The oldest brother got all the glory. And so he's saying, "Hey, you remember this? I had a dream the other night, and all you guys are going to be bowing down to me." And he would talk about it, and his brothers started getting really, really, really angry with them, like we would with our siblings if they tell us that we're going to bow down to them one day. And so they start getting really angry, and they're like, "We're going to kill this dude. This is going to off him. We're done, you know? Like, I'm sick of hearing about him." But one of his brothers came to his rescue and was like, "No, we're not going to off him. We're not going to do that because, remember, he is our brother. You know, you can't off your own brother. So let's throw him in this pit, okay?" So they throw him in a pit. Then these slave traders come along. They're like, "Hey, let's sell him to them. He'll be done with our problem. We'll just tell Dad that he died. You know, he got eaten by a wolf or something." And so they sell him to these slave traders. The funny thing is I started studying this a little bit. He was actually sold, what scholars believe, as a handicapped slave. Not even as a real slave. They wanted him gone so bad, they're just like, "We'll take anything from him. We don't even care. Don't even give us a fair reward. Just get him away from us." And so he was taken over to Egypt. In Egypt, he was bought by a man named Potiphar. He was a great servant for Potiphar, extremely faithful. We're going to look at that. But he was unfairly accused of trying to sleep with Potiphar's wife. So therefore, he was thrown into the prison. Then while he was in prison, he had an opportunity by interpreting a few more dreams, and he was brought out and he was raised all the way to the ranks of second command in all of Egypt's empire as right below Pharaoh. It's a great story of perseverance and faithfulness, but throughout all of this, his integrity just comes out more and more and more. He did not have an easy life. If anyone had a right to be bitter, right to be angry, right to be unjust to other people, it was Joseph. I mean, his brothers sold him into slavery as a handicapped slave. He had the right to be bitter and angry, but he chose to be loving, forgiving, honest, faithful. I don't know about y'all, but that's not my natural response. You see, integrity is something that we don't see a lot today. Something that's kind of hard to define because we don't see it a lot. One popular saying is, integrity is doing what's right when no one is looking. That's so true. That is so true. Because you get down to the core of who you truly are when no one's looking. More formal definition is, it's an inner sense of wholeness deriving from the qualities such as honesty and consistency of character. Acting according to your values, beliefs, and principles that you hold to. So church, are we people of integrity? Do we act according to what we believe? The values that we read in Scripture, do we act according to those? Because though we had many temptations to fall away from it, Joseph acted according to what he believed. Joseph acted according to those principles, and he was a man integrity. The first part that comes throughout, that stands out of his character, is his honesty. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 39. I want to have a few of these on the screen and everything. But in Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6. There we go. And now, you have to remember the context of this. He was just sold into slavery. He's a foreigner. Okay? No reputation in Egypt. No one knows anything about him. But check this. Now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a governor, a politician, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites, had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord caused all that he did to have success in his hands. So Joseph found favor I told you I'm the worst reader in the office, right? So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he was made an overseer of his house and put in charge of everything that he had. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all he had in his house and field. So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge. And because of him had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now think about this for a second. Joseph was a foreign slave. Had no reputation in Egypt. No one knew anything about him. And he comes and is bought by Potiphar. Now, what does it say that Potiphar put him in charge of everything? To me, it screams that Joseph was the most honest, sincere, trustful man that Potiphar's ever met. Why would he put a foreign slave in charge of all that he had? His field, his house, his other servants. Why? It just would not make sense. But he was honest and trustworthy. I don't know about you guys, but if a stranger comes into my house I probably don't put him in charge of everything that I have. I don't say, oh, here's my safe with all my, like, savings and everything, and, oh, just, you know, I don't point out those things. But Potiphar just said, here's my house. Here's my possessions. You manage them. I trust you that much. His life was just screaming about his integrity and how honest and trustworthy he was. Sadly, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, Joseph was unfairly accused by Potiphar's wife. But Potiphar, up until that point, trusted him because of his honesty. But also, later when he got put into prison, his honesty then came forth again, and it says in chapter 39, lower on, 20 through 23, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confirmed, and he was in prison there. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him a steadfast love, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were there in the prison. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that Joseph was in charge of, because the Lord was with them, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Think about this again. Now, this man, Joseph, not only is a foreign slave, but now is accused of betraying Egyptian governor, Egyptian commander in the army. There's no reason this jailer should trust him. In fact, the jailer would probably lose his life or at least his job if anything with the prisoners goes out of whack. But he trusts Joseph so much that it says he paid no attention to anything that was going on when Joseph was in charge. Now think about this, church. Are we living a life of honesty? That people can trust us no matter what? That when they say, you know, when Joe's in charge, which is scary, I don't even know why you guys hired me to be in charge of your teenagers. Like, that was... But when... I just wonder if they say, when Joe's in charge, I don't even have to worry about it. Don't even have to pay attention. That just shows his honesty and trustworthiness in this. In church, it reminds me of a verse in Matthew 5:37. Let what you say be simple. Yes or no. Anything more that comes from this is evil. So think about this for a second. Are your yeses yes and your noes no? Can people trust you? Can people take what you say and know that you're honest and trustworthy? Is your integrity come through like that? It's Joseph. I mean, a jailer who could lose his life if the prisoners get out, trust a prisoner. He just said, you're good. Because Joseph's yes were yes, and his no's were no. But not only was he honest and trustworthy, he was faithful. And the passage I'm using this is Genesis 39:6-18. I'm not going to read all of it because we'll be here all day. But you guys could read it on your own. What happens here is when Joseph was in charge of Potiphar's estate, Potiphar's wife decided to take a liking to him. It says in the passage that Joseph was a very handsome man, very good-looking man. He had this leadership quality about him that would make him very, very attractive. And her goal was to sleep with him. And she tried, and she tried, and she tried, and tried so hard, and Joseph had to run away from her. The point where it said that she was trying to grab at him and had his garment in her hands, and he just took off without it. He ran away from the opportunity to sin. Now think about this for a second. Now, I don't mean to be crude. I don't mean to be, you know, out there, but this was an opportunity. I mean, this was Potiphar's wife, and he had a chance to sin. Satan was like, all right, you're a man of integrity. Here's a huge opportunity that a lot of people would stumble and come to. And what did Joseph do? He he's like, there's no way when this guy gave me the opportunity, there's no way when he put me in charge of everything, am I going to cross him? Now, I know myself, and I know that in opportunities of sin and probably to cross people to make myself look better, the natural carnal side of me tends to do it. But Joseph says, nuh-uh. I love my master enough. I love my people enough that I'm not going to cross a single one of them. Think about it. He wasn't even a person of that country. He was a slave, and he would not cross his master at the given the opportunity to sin. But not only did he show faithfulness to his master, he showed faithfulness to his God because he fled sin. Church, now I'm preaching to myself here on this one, I know that. How many of us flee sin? Or how many of us try to flirt with the line and see how close we can get? You know, one of the most popular questions as a youth pastor I hear from teenagers is the classic, and kind of goes along with the topic, but how far is too far in a relationship, right? You probably heard that as a parent or probably thought it yourself at one point in your life. That's not the question. Because that is asking, hey, Joe, how close can I get to this line of sin and still be okay? How close can I get to it and still be okay? If you take Joseph's example of this, you'd be booking it the other way. You'd be running away from it as fast as possible. And that doesn't necessarily only mean with sexual sin like it is in this passage, but think about it. How far away can we get from lying? How far away can we get from cheating? How far away can we get from stealing? How far away can we get from anger? How far away can we get from sin? Church, probably one of the most faithful things that Joseph did was flee. And I have to ask myself this question, and I ask it to you as well. How good are we at fleeing? Or are we better at flirting? You see, the reality is, church, in the book of, see, I told you we'd be here all day. In the book of John, it says this, and this is Christ speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will listen to me and you will follow me. If you love me, you will run away from sin. None of us would like it if someone would try to get as close as possible to offending us and try to flirt that line all the time because you know it's going to be crossed. None of us wants a friend like that. None of us wants a spouse like that. Why do we do that with God? Why do we do that with God? I know I'm guilty of it. I know I am. The last thing that Joseph was, that just screamed his integrity, is that he forgave. He forgave. In Genesis 50, this is probably, after studying this, one of my favorite passages in a long time that I've read. This is so incredibly cool. Joseph's brothers come to him and have not really kind of eaten their own words once they find out it's Joseph and eaten what they've done because there's a famine in their land and they need Joseph's help because of Joseph's wisdom and God's blessing on him and is high in command now in Egypt. He was rationing out all the food because they stored up before and now he's rationing out all the food. He's in charge of this whole food bank drive thing that's going on. And his brothers come to him, and they move to Egypt. Then Jacob, their father, dies. And you sense when you're reading this passage a little bit of fear in the brothers' voice. They didn't want to tell Joseph that Jacob died because they thought Joseph was just keeping him alive just to keep Jacob happy. They're a little scared now. They know they have a right to die for what they did to their brother. Especially with the power that he has now. At a snap of a finger, it could happen. But this is what we read. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for the evil that we did to him. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgressions of the servants of God of your father. Joseph wept and spoke to him. His brothers came and fell before him and said, behold, we are your servants. You see the sense of fear, and they're like, we're not even on brother level anymore. We're your slaves, Joseph. We're your servants. We're bowing before you. We're giving you all the honor, all the glory, because we know that we deserve evil to us for what we did to you. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me. God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I'll provide for you and your little ones. Thus, he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You have to understand that revenge was a huge part of their culture. They knew they deserved imprisonment, slavery, if not death, for what they did. Because what they did is they sold their brother as a handicapped slave into slavery. Because of that, he got thrown into prison unjustly for doing the right thing by fleeing sin. And he spent many years there. It's not like it was glorified, it was a dungeon. And as he spent many years there, he did not hold anger. I just don't rationalize this, because I know when people cheat me, when people wrong me, and the natural revenge side that comes out of me, I want to get them back. And it's a funny way, the same way that when your kids pied me in the face, I had to pie a couple of them back. I mean, that's a natural revenge side of me. The teens also know, you prank me, it's going to be bad. But check this, Charles Swindoll says this about Joseph. Regardless of how he was treated, he was a slave, a prisoner, turned over by his own brothers, in spite of the unfair, erroneous actions, even though he was rejected, abandoned, abused, and forgotten, he refused to become resentful or bear a grudge or succumb to bitterness. He was cheated. He was wrong. But in the moment, because he knew that his God wants us to forgive, he knows that our God wants us to forgive, he forgave. And even better, and this is so cool, verse 20 is probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible right now. As for you, talking to his brothers again, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. How cool is it that God can turn bad things into great things? I mean, honestly. And he realized, he saw the bigger picture. He didn't just focus in on what his brothers did to him. He saw the bigger picture and said, hey, you meant it for evil. You wanted to off me. You wanted to get rid of me. But look at this. God turned into good, and we're saving all these people's lives. I'm saving your lives right now. It's okay. I'm better now, and it's okay. God has blessed me. He turned this into good. He gave God the honor and glory for it. That is so awesome. Because I know myself, narrow focused. You wronged me, you wronged me. That's the end of it. Now looking at the bigger scheme of things, sometimes when I was wronged in my life, I sit there and going, oh, God had a better plan for me. Funny how that works. This is so incredibly cool. So what about you? Is your integrity coming through with forgiveness? Church, we're not supposed to hold grudges. We're not supposed to be bitter. I think one of the biggest turnoffs when an outsider comes into church, so when you hear us gossip, slander, hold grudges against each other. because they're like, well, they don't love each other in here. Why should I be here? Because no one's loving each other out there. You should set us apart. I know it's hard. I know there's pain that has to be wrestled with, but we need to let it go and forgive and love. That would be a huge testimony to our integrity. So Joseph was a man of integrity. He was the most honest, faithful, forgiving man of his day. He had all the rights not to be. But he knew that pleasing God and walking the walk and not just talking the talk was more important. To wrap this up, I was looking for a modern-day example of integrity. And it's hard. People we should be able to trust in, a lot of times, really can't. A lot of the mainstream media highlights people who are not of integrity. So I found a fictional one, but it works. His name is Javier Martinez. You may recognize his name. Javier is a character in the movie Courageous. He has been, like a lot of people in today's world, out of work, and would do anything to get a job for us to support his family. He leaves the situation up to God, and he finally gets his big break. He started working at a yarn factory. He was presented with the opportunity to have a managerial job, everyone's dream. Everything seems great besides one thing. The only qualification his boss gave for this job was that he had to fudge the numbers on the inventory. He was given some time to think about it, and this is his response. Church, what about you? Are you a person of integrity? And you know as well as I do, only you and God can answer that. The truth is integrity, living out what we believe, walking the walk and not just talking the talk, requires sacrifice. It won't be easy all the time. Javier could have lost his job. Church, are we honest? Are we forgiving? Do we realize that this is bigger than just us? That this is a reflection on our faith and our God, how we respond to these situations? Joseph was a great man of integrity and a great example for us all. I want to leave us with a challenge that we'll leave here, and that LaPorte will know that Christians are people of integrity. That's my prayer. It's a prayer for my life. A prayer for yours. So let's pray. Dear Lord, integrity is a rare thing we see in today's world. Those who we should be able to trust, we end up seeing that we can't. But God, the truth is, if we live out your word, and if we truly love you, and that means obeying your commandments, we will be people of integrity. And that will be a great light in this dark world where there is hardly any. So God, thank you for Joseph. Thank you for putting him in your word that we can learn from him. God, help us. Holy Spirit, come alongside of us. It's the daily pressures to fall away from the character of integrity that we're supposed to have comes. May we stand strong. Live out what we truly believe. You are awesome.